This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Wednesday today, because tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Yay! And the building is closed at my major client. Yay! And the next day is Friday, and the building is closed. Yay! So this is what I really relax, because it's like, they're closed. Nothing can go wrong. Well, that's not true. Things can go wrong even when they're closed, but, you know, if something does go wrong, we've got plenty of time to fix it. So anyways, it's been a good week, short week, obviously, since leaving on Wednesday. Won't be back in until Monday unless something goes wrong. But probably won't be back in until Monday, which means that we'll have Thanksgiving meal together on Thursday and probably get to do some writing. And then on Friday, probably get to do some writing. Yay! Yay! Saturday, probably get to do some writing. And Sunday, too. So it's going to be a good weekend. Good, long, writing weekend. Anyways, so it's good. I've had some nice conversations this week with friends. And I'm crossed, I think I'm 93,000 words, 94,000 words, 93,000, somewhere in there. Didn't get any writing done last night because I went out with a buddy and then I got home and, I need to swing by and pick up some groceries for my wife for Thanksgiving dinner. And then by the time I got exercised, it was too late. It was too late. So I just went to bed. But that's okay, because I'm a little ahead this week anyways, and I expect to have some time to get even farther ahead. So, you know, I think this week is going to be fine. I'm starting to feel the crunch a little bit. Starting to feel the crunch. Because I really, really, really need to have this book locked away by, like, the week of Christmas. I'd like to have it locked away by the week of Christmas, because then I could take, you know, a few days during Christmas and just relax and spend time with my kids and my grandkids, and then get back to it fresh and start my read-throughs. That would give me 2.5 weeks to do my read-throughs and, you know, minor edits and tweaking and brushing a little bit, and then 2 weeks. That would take me to mid-January, and then 2 weeks to work on the cover, get the cover squared away, and then align my beta, get my beta readers lined up, and then it'll be 2 down, 22 to go, and then get started on the next one. So we'll see. We'll just see how it goes. Lots of story left to tell. Lots and lots of story left to tell. It's just going to be fascinating to see how this story wraps out and where it goes. Big story. It's a big story. Sometime in here as well, I need to order some extra copies to send people for Christmas. I have a couple of people that I hand out Christmas copies too, and so got to get those ordered and give those out. So it's good. It's good. You know, it's been a good year. Obviously, we're coming to the end of it now. It's been a good year. Made some good progress this week at my major client, so that's good. That's all falling into place. December, of course, is a short month because we have a week off. Building is closed for a week. But even with that, there's enough days in December. I'm only going to be down one day of work. And, you know, that's not that big of a deal from the budget standpoint. And if I was really concerned about it, I could just push a little harder in those 3 weeks and actually make that all up. But I have writing to do, so I probably won't be doing that. But all in all, you know, everything is puttering along. Everything seems to be good. And so life is good. This week, I actually didn't prepare my notes till this morning. Normally I do it the night before, and I wasn't even thinking, and I got up this morning and I looked down and went, oh yeah, thank you Jesus, that's right, it's podcast today. I could have put it off, but you know, it's one of those things. I looked at it and said, you know, let's just get this done. I love getting things done. So, oh, you can do that later. Well, I could, or I could get it done. So I'd already had a kind of an idea of what I wanted to talk about this week, and a buddy and I kind of talked through this last night, and I had found another article that kind of went with this. What started this was a video, a public awareness video that was done by a group, an anti-harassment organization, Hollaback, in which they took a volunteer, and she was just in t-shirts and pants, jeans and t-shirt, and they had a guy carry a backpack in front of her with a hole cut in it with a GoPro, and she didn't say anything, she just walked, and they had her go out and walk the streets of New York for 10 hours, just walk down the streets. And the title of the article was, Watch This Woman Get Harassed 108 Times While Walking in New York City. You know, most of this stuff was, hey, baby, you're looking good, you know, whistle and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that kind of bummed me out was the fact that one of these things that was mentioned in the article as harassment was someone calling out, have a nice evening. Just like that. Have a nice evening. And I went, what? You know, and then I thought, well, you know, okay, so if in fact there is this culture of fear, if there's this underlayment of fear in the average feminine mind, then when she's out walking around, you know, potentially anyone saying anything to her can be misinterpreted. And I have actually adjusted my approach a little bit. You know, if it's some kind of pretty young woman and she's dolled up like she really cares, and she happens to come around a corner where, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I might look up and say, hi, how are you today? Or just, how are you today? I don't do that anymore. I just pretend that they don't exist. which is kind of sad. You know? That's kind of sad. Because they are human beings, and I do want to acknowledge their existence, but if in fact anything that's said to them, if they've concluded that in fact anything that's said to them obviously is only being said to them because people are so enamored with my attractive appearance that I worked so hard on that they're obviously just trying to sexually harass me. Well, okay, fine. You know, there's a whole lot more people in the world that I can talk to, smile at, get very nice responses from, and I can just ignore the pretty young things. I could ignore the young women. Let's put it that way, because obviously pretty young things is sexist. So that's fine. I made the adjustment, read the article, made the adjustment. Ta-da! Great. Moving on. I can't do anything about all the guys that are whistling and catcalling and doing hey baby. And in one of the spots in the video, this guy just walked up beside this woman and walked beside her. Didn't say anything for like 5 minutes, just walked beside her. Well, okay, that's creepy. You know, he was just trying to get some attention, and she didn't give him any attention, so, you know. Okay, that's the young woman in this in this particular video said, you know, this type of thing happens to her all the time. She says, I'm harassed when I smile. I'm harassed when I don't. I'm harassed by white men, black men, and Latino men. Not a day goes by when I don't experience this. Okay, so you file that all away. Okay, well, it's New York City and, you know, whatever. So then, of course, the internet picks this up, and there's other, you know, memes like Princess Leia goes for a walk in New York City, and of course all these Star Wars characters come out and try to, you know, sexually harass her. But that's the internet, okay? That's the way the internet is. Then I noticed another article, which was put out by Model Pranksters TV, where they took a woman, an attractive woman, who probably, I think, is only wearing a thong. I think she was actually wearing a thong. And they hired a company called The Body of Art to paint her legs to resemble jeans. So she's not wearing any pants. She's not wearing pants. She's just wearing body paint. And they sent her out to walk around the streets of New York. And just to see how observant New York Cityers were. Now, and they showed the video of her, and obviously, no jeans are that tight. I mean, if you actually looked at her butt, there's obviously a deep crack there, and nobody's pants are that tight. So, if someone actually ogled her butt, I don't know how they couldn't conclude that she wasn't wearing any pants. And yet, according to, you know, the video, there's very few people who even noticed. Now, when I came across this, I'm like, wait, what? So you got this one gal who's wearing a black t-shirt, black jeans, walking down the street, and people are commenting on her booty, and they're saying, you know, how nice she looks, and yada, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And you have another woman who is not wearing any pants. And she does not appear to be getting sexually harassed at all. So that kind of raises questions about, and not that I don't believe that people don't make catcalls and call out. I do believe that. My mom experienced that in New York City when she was going to nursing school. This would have been, oh, lands, this would have been back in the 40s, 50s, sometime in there, early, I mean, you know, she's walking to nursing school in New York City. Of course, all the guys are catcalling, woohoo, baby, 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 you know, come on over here, you know, all that kind of stuff is going on. Because obviously, this is nothing new. Anyways, so, but trying to reconcile this fact that one woman is walking around dressed somewhat conservatively and is just getting harassed one right after the other, and the other one is not walking around with any pants, and apparently no one's noticing. That's kind of hard to reconcile those things, unless perhaps they're walking around different areas or different times of the day or something. I don't know. I don't know exactly what to make of that, but that was very, very interesting. Okay, so the last article I came across then, and I was talking to my buddy yesterday about the way women dress and why they dress that way, and we got on this topic of, and I was trying to relay to him that, in fact, when women dress in high heels and shorter skirts and maybe with a little cleavage or something, that they're not necessarily dressing to be sexy. Men interpret that as sexy, but they're dressing actually more to win approval, to be treated nicer, to feel safer because someone values them and might be willing to protect them. There's a whole lot of ways to prove this, but one of the ways were the women who were dressing up in these half-naked costumes, well, putting on costumes to the point where they were half-naked, going to places like Comic-Con, and then trying to start a petition that guys shouldn't follow them around at Comic-Con, and people shouldn't be taking pictures of them when they don't want people to take pictures of them, like when they're bending over. And they should be able to tell people, you know, okay, you can take a picture now, but you can't take, because they're being sexually harassed. Because they're half naked. And I was trying to explain this to my buddy, that from a feminine average feminine standpoint, women do not dress up in quote unquote sexy ways to look sexy or look like they're interested in sex. There's different motivations. And he said, what other possible motivation could there be? And I was trying to explain them. But this article that I came across, I think, does a really good job of explaining this. And the title of the article was High Heels Are Sexy. And they started out by saying, according to a groundbreaking study published in Springer's Journal Archives of Sexual Behavior, high heels are officially sexy. Okay, so this was not really news to anyone. But the question is, how did they prove this? So what the researcher says is that according to his research, women's shoe heel size exerts a powerful behavior on men. And I think I would add to that, it's not just shoe heel size, it's really shape of heel size and height. Because big clunky, you know, there's a specific thing that has to be true about the shoe. But we'll get to that in a minute. So his study reveals the age-old inclination of men to be influenced by enticing physical attributes. Okay, duh. Anyways, so he did a bunch of studies, and I think the studies themselves are actually pretty interesting. Okay, in one of them, he had randomly selected 90 male subjects between the ages of 25 to 50 in Brittany, France. In one field study, a 19-year-old female asked men on the street to complete a questionnaire. In one test, she wore flat shoes with only a 0.5 centimeter heel. In the second test, she wore 5 centimeter heels, which is what, about 2 inches? In the third test, she wore, wow, I'm running out of light, heels measuring 9 centimeters. So that would be for 4-ish inches. Just a second, I've like completely run out of light. So I need to get my mail, and then I need to get back inside. And so the question is, the same woman dressed the same, the only thing that's changing is her heel size. And then the question is, okay, of these 90 randomly, you know, selected guys that she asks to help her, which are willing to stop and actually fill out this survey with her? And what they said was that the results were that the experiment demonstrated that between the lowest and the highest heels height, men's responsiveness doubled. So if she's wearing flats, she gets far less of response from men than if she's wearing high heels. She works up to them in high heels. Men are like, oh, okay, sure, I'll talk to you. Um, So, and it looks like they finished the roof. Yay! Got a new roof on. I'm going to need to climb around on the roof and throw off the rest of the debris. Got to get the car pulled in here one moment. So, this is non-trivial. Doubled. Responsiveness doubled. And it wasn't the only study they did. Let me go ahead and get sidled in here, and we'll get to the rest of it. They also did another study. Doubled. Okay. Studied the reactions of almost 180 men and women when four young women, all of the same height, weight, and shoe size, dropped a single glove on three different occasions. The young ladies wore similar clothing of an identical color, but they wore different pairs of shoes with heels the same height as in the prior experiment. So some flats, some about two, some about four. Female respondents reacted no differently according to the height of the woman who dropped a glove. Men, however, had their readiness to assist increased by one-third from the flat shoes to the highest heels. There was also a study that was done. Three dozen males, ages 20 to 58, in a bar, he discovered that men were quicker to approach and speak to women wearing high heels. Within 7 minutes, men were even speaking to the female colleague when she wore high heels, as opposed to 13 minutes it took them to engage her when she wore flats. So now, the researcher stated that the change in women's gait while wearing high heels may account for his findings. I don't think that's true. I mean, there's a little, but I don't think that's true. Also, he said it might be the demure appearance of the foot while in heels. I think that's closer. He added the fact that numerous models are shown wearing high heels and could have men sometimes mistakenly associating them with sexual intent. Yeah, I think it's a little simpler than that. I think when men see a woman in high heels, they instinctively know that she's easier to catch because she's hobbled herself. Because high heels are more unstable than flats. And so men instinctively look and go, ooh, okay, now that's from the men's side. So now, why in the world would women ever wear high heels if it wasn't so they wanted to look sexy so that men would catch them and want to have intercourse with them? And the reason is shown very clearly in this study. The reason is because men will help them out. Men will pay more attention to them. Because a woman isn't necessarily dressing up to look sexy. She is dressing up to attract someone who will protect her, to allow her to be able to ask for help and get help, to make it easier for her to get done what she wants to get done. In other words, a woman is dressing up, if you want to simplify it, so that her life will be easier. It's like I was talking to my buddy last night. You know, average women driven purely by flesh, okay, are not necessarily looking for relationship. They're looking for rulership. The reason that they're in competition with each other is not because there aren't enough men to go around. There isn't enough of quality men who will protect them, who will provide for them, who will give them a good place to raise their children, who will let them live whatever kind of life that they want to live, that they can control. There isn't enough of those kind of men around. They're in short supply. But there are plenty of men around. Because when I told my buddy last night, you know, why are women competing with each other? Because they obviously are. If you look at studies where a lab assistant comes in, she's dressed one way, you know, common, and then she comes back in and she's dressed hot, you know, that the women, after she leaves the room, they start each other because they're competing for resources. And my buddy said, but there are no resources to compete with. There's plenty of guys out there that can't get women to even look at them. I said, right, right. Right. Because women aren't necessarily, on average, driven by the flesh. Got to put all the caveats in there. Are not looking for relationship. They're looking for rulership. And they want to live well and find some guy that's going to take care of them so they can do what they want. And so they have a tendency to pass over anyone who doesn't quite live up to that checklist. So it's very, very, very interesting. And this stuff has been going on. My buddy last night said, you're never going to change any of this. And, you know, as long as the flesh is around, I don't think we will. All we can do individually is try to live the best lives we can live. And for me, that life, best life I can live individually is to do my best to understand my wife, to do my best to help my wife feel safe and provided for and loved, and is to do my best to be as open and caring as I can with other people, to greet them and treat them with human beings. And unfortunately now, to do my best means that if I come across a young woman who is obviously trying very hard to look attractive or has this terrible look of fear in her eyes, then I'm just going to walk past because I may in fact be doing more damage by trying to just greet her as a fellow human being than I would be if I just ignored her, which is kind of sad. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.